And then we wish to open the Word of God further and read again Psalm 65. We turn again to Psalm 65. And there we read God's holy word. To the chief musician, a psalm and song of David. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea. Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. And we wish to meditate this morning on the last part of verse 4, where we read, "We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple," so far. Beloved congregation, the people of Israel are gathered on the temple square, and in that square they are awaiting the return of the high priest from the Holy of Holies. It's the Day of Atonement. It's the Yom Kippur. And then when he returns, then there is rejoicing, because he has established a reconciliation and atonement in the Holy of Holies. And then the people break out in praises. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. And they continue to exclaim in verse 4, "And we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." And that's the text we wish to meditate on this morning. So when we look at the text, we see the word goodness. Goodness is very significant here. And we should focus our attention on this goodness. God's word speaks much of the goodness of the Lord. So many psalms proclaim that the Lord is good. And the goodness of the Lord is seen, it's experienced in bestowing good things. Many examples can be given. We mention Nehemiah 9:25, where the Levites instruct the people of Israel that the Lord has given them all the great gifts, the gifts of God's goodness, that when Israel came into the land of Canaan, they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses, wells, vineyards, and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they delighted themselves in thy great goodness. So there you see goodness in the sense that the Lord gives so many great gifts. But there's more to the goodness of the Lord. It is that the Lord gives his people salvation. Isaiah 63 verse 7, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the great goodness towards the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. He was their Savior. So what is the goodness of the Lord? That is that he is the Savior of his people. And what does Scripture say about Savior? That is saving from sins and reconciling a sinner, that he belongs to the living God. Reconciled to him. Oh, that goodness of the Lord in giving salvation. The salvation that is so prominent in Scripture. The salvation the Lord has in store for his people. The glorious blessings of God's goodness, of fullness of salvation. If only we could understand and see that reality. What an incentment would there be given to us in life to seek the Lord. The salvation the Lord has stored up for his people. Psalm 31, 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. And that goodness the Lord has laid up, that is the riches of his salvation, which is above our imagination or thinking. But then we also see the goodness of the Lord refers also to spiritual blessings in this life. Spiritual blessings. And that's what we find in our text. The people who are gathered together in the temple square, they rejoice that they receive spiritual blessings. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And what are then these spiritual blessings the Lord gives them? Because that's the focus here in Psalm 65 on the temple square. Well, these spiritual blessings are culminated in the blessing of reconciliation, the miracle that God gives atonement, a payment for sin. The blessing of God in reconciling sinners to himself. That's the immediate background of the text. That's the spiritual blessing. And connected to that, we think of the many tokens of his love, the many tokens of his faithfulness. And we can think of the many spiritual blessings the Lord gives to his people. And there's so many. It's all summarized in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Jesus Christ, who is made of God unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, there are a multitude of spiritual blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go to the temple, because last week we saw that that's the background of this psalm, that everything in the temple spoke there of Christ. And everything speaks there of the spiritual blessings of Christ. The sacrifices, the sprinkling of blood, referring to the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. But also we see the candlestick in the holy part of the temple, displaying light. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Outside of him, people walk in darkness. And we see the table with showbreads, and that the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we see the high priest performing his work. And then we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, of bringing an atonement for his people, of interceding for his people, of blessing his people. That he is a high priest who has compassion upon his people. And what the Old Testament believer found in the temple in God's house, that is what the New Testament believer finds in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abundance of spiritual blessings in Christ. The New Testament believer receives the riches of God's goodness, the riches of God's salvation, the riches of spiritual blessings. There are so many, so great. Psalm 36:8 says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. There is an abundance of goodness in his house. There is everlasting righteousness, an imputed righteousness that can never be undone, sealed by the blood of Christ on Calvary. And by faith, you may say, he gives a full remission of all my sins, the past sins, the sins of ignorance, the sins I've forgotten, the sins of youth, all sins, even the sins of the future. They are all sealed in this new state in which the Lord places you. Instead of being at enmity, unreconciled, now to be reconciled, now to be at peace with God. What rich spiritual blessing! The forgiveness of sins. And what riches of blessings the Lord gives that he allows unworthy sinners to draw near to God. That he allows unworthy sinners to lay their petitions before him. And then the Lord gives spiritual blessings of answers to prayer. Answers, hearing, petitions. And that the Lord gives also deliverance from enemies, spiritual enemies that harass you. What blessings. And that he forms and molds your life then to be a reflection of the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Lord gives you grace to know God in Christ. That the Lord gives grace to persevere under all circumstances. That he gives you grace to see the invisible one. That he gives grace of tasting something of heavenly joy. To have grace to look at the faithfulness of God. That he is the everlasting rock of my salvation. Oh, what spiritual blessings, what goodness of his holy temple, what goodness of his house. And there is more, because the goodness of God's house consists of the comforts of the everlasting covenant of the Lord, the everlasting loving kindness of the Lord. And a you believer, you end in God's sovereign election. There you stand in awe at God's goodness in having mercy upon you, a sinner, when you did not seek him, but he sought you. And when you would have continued on a path of foolishness, but he stopped you, because all his people are found of him. He is not found of them. And then you stand in awe at God's goodness, that he knew you before time, that he knew you from everlasting, that then he already knew you and loved you. He had set his eyes upon you, although you didn't exist yet. But for him you were a reality. What a miracle of God's goodness, what a care focused upon you who loved the Lord Jesus. And then you are moved that the Lord was seeking you and drawing you in the fullness of time. And that he saved you. And so you stand here in his holy temple in awe for all the Lord's undeserved goodness for you. Oh, look at the riches of his goodness. Look at life everlasting he has in store. Remission of all our sins. Full salvation. And you know there is enough. We can go on and on. There is enough There's a fullness in the Lord because He Himself is infinite. That's why He has an infinite store of goodness. And there is an infinite supply for all men everywhere. So when we meditate upon the goodness of the Lord's house and the goodness He gives to His people, we must realize there's a goodness in store, ready for all men everywhere. Enough for all. All who are under the proclamation of the gospel are freely invited, are called, are commanded to come and to drink of the waters of life freely. To lay yourself down before Him. To beg of Him life everlasting. You are called to look unto Him. Even if you say, I cannot come to the supper. The most important thing is not even to come to the supper. The most important thing is to live in communion with Him. To know Him. And therefore, if you feel you cannot come to the supper, look to Him. And if you are not interested even in these matters, maybe you are here because you were supposed to be here. But your heart is not in it. Look to Him. Look at all this goodness. Where else can you receive goodness? There's enough and it's ready. It's always ready in the time of grace until the door will be shut. And people have thought that yesterday the door would be shut. People have thought they could calculate the coming of the Lord Jesus. They were all horribly mistaken because the Lord has clearly said it cannot be calculated that the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And the mockers now mock the Lord. And people have believed these false ideas are now in disarray. But in the midst of all this, we may know that there is still time of grace and that the door of grace is still open. The Lord extends an invitation to receive of His goodness. But there's something more in our text. It's not just the goodness. It speaks also about satisfied. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Satisfied. And God's people, you know this. You've tasted it. You know that nothing can satisfy you anymore except Christ and His fullness. Oh yes, you're very grateful for the blessings of life. And you have your hopes and your anticipations and you have your joys and you're grateful for that. But you know, and you should never deny that, that the full satisfaction lies outside of you and outside of this world. It's in Christ Jesus, in sweet communion with Him. To know Him is to know life in the absolute sense. Because He gives abundance of life. He fills your eternal soul. Your soul that will never die. He, the eternal God, fills it. When you experience that being satisfied with His goodness, then your soul is filled. And you want to have nothing else there, only Him. And that's how the Lord draws. He satisfies His people. With abundance of happiness and peace and life. The experience of His loving kindness is better than life, the psalmist of 63 said. And what does it mean then to be satisfied with the goodness of God's house? That means that the true friends of God are not tossed from vanity to vanity. From disillusion to disillusion. No, they are satisfied in Christ. There is rest in the Lord Jesus. There is full peace with God. then God has become your caring Father. He has reconciled you to Himself in His Son. And you are under the care of the Good Shepherd who will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Comforter abides with you. And then you may say, whether I live or whether I die, I belong to the Lord. There's ultimately no difference. I am the Lord's, and He knows me. He knows the path I have to go. He is faithful, and in Him I find everything I need. He is my delight. He is my desire. He is my joy. He is my hope. He is my refuge when I am in fear. He is my strength. He is my anticipation. He will make all things new. He is my all in all. And when you know this, then you experience what Jeremiah said in 31:25, I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. That's being satisfied, replenished, satisfied. And what a difference. A soul without God is barren, dry, worn out. But when the Lord Jesus enters your heart, life enters in. Joy and peace fill your heart. And you know the Lord is your Savior, your deliverer. He gave Himself for me, and that's the gospel you delight in. And you see that in the Lord Jesus, God is a God of infinite bounty and liberality, that He is a prayer-hearing God. And you are satisfied in all this goodness. Look, His hand is still open. His hand is full of all things you need. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask and it shall be given you. The Lord is superabundant in His gifts. He satisfies His people. He gives them an overflowing cup. And when we have asked, then He quarrels with us. Then it is as if the Lord is saying to us, you have not asked enough. You said amen too soon. You should ask more, because I have much more to give. He is ready to do for us, exceeding abundantly what we can either ask or think. Yes, it will even be what Isaiah 65:24 says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Now this is what God does and gives and who He is. And this satisfies the soul. This is part of being satisfied with the goodness of His house. And the heart of it all, the nucleus, the nerve, the center. He gave Himself for you, believer. This is the goodness of His house. This is what satisfies the soul. It's Jesus. Jesus alone. It's experiencing the love of Jesus. It's knowing the mercy of God. It's being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. In short, it is communion with God. And this is the very best. And this is what the Lord gives as the goodness of His house. And this it is that satisfies the soul. That you will be so filled with Him, so filled that nothing can be said to be wanting. When He's in your heart, you will say, I lack nothing. You look nowhere else. For He who gave His Son for you, He gave with Him all things you need. All things and more. All things for body and soul. Not everything you may so necessarily desire or want, but all that is good, all that will lead you to see the glory of the Lord. He will guide you with His eye. He will comfort you and sustain you. He will lift you up. He's the good shepherd who knows His sheep, who lays them upon His shoulder, who feeds them in green pastures, leads them along quiet waters. He soothes their wounds. He is an ever-abiding God, and the whole purpose is to lead to everlasting glory with Him. And all this becomes so real and true that you say, my cup is full. I have lack of nothing. Well, here at this supper, meditate on this glorious Bridegroom. Meditate on this Savior, Christ. His beauty is surpassing everything else. His kingdom is mighty. His riches are infinite. And such a one matches himself to distorted, uncomely souls as we are. What a marvelous reality that this most glorious one, He courts a bride who is by nature as black as hell, and that He seeks her through a sea of blood and suffering. He laid down His life, such a price, to seek such a bride. He went through the pains of hell to reach out to her, to draw her. He went through the pains of death. He went through the terrors of outer darkness. He went through the horrors of the grave. He did it all for an uncomely bride. Child of God, He followed you in your wanderings through the barrenness of sin. And He followed you with alluring invitations. And He followed you with gospel offers. And He presented you the precious rings and jewels, like the servant of Abraham presented that to Rebekah, to lure her to leave her house and to come to a new husband. And the Lord did this to gain your heart. And glorious day when finally your unwillingness was overcome. And you saw your guilt and you couldn't go on anymore. You said, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And you confessed your guilt. You confessed you were unworthy of any of God's blessings. And you saw that you deserved to be forever in outer darkness. But the response to His invitation, worked by God's Spirit in your heart, the cry came, my Lord and my God. And He entered your heart. And now your heart is no comparison to how it was. It's ravished with His love. He took your shame. He gave you His glory. He took the curse. He gave you the blessing. He took your death. He gave you His life. He took your sins. He gave you His righteousness. And now you are satisfied in Him. He is my bride. He is my all in all. You have enough in Him. More than enough. And still you never have enough of Him, for He is altogether lovely. And now you long to live in that awareness that He is your all in all, for to your own sadness you see that so often the world allures and thousand thoughts attack your soul, especially in a week of preparation. How was it with you in this week? What happened to you? Was the devil extra active? And you wish that He could always be your all in all, but it's not like that, is it? That's why He called you at the supper, to let you eat and drink. priest on him. Your desire is not to be your own, but to be his, to be found not in yourself, but in him. Lord, let me sit under the shadow of the tree of life. Thou, Lord Jesus, art the life. In thy shadow, it is well. In thy shadow, it is well. Be thou my strength, my riches, my wisdom, my light, my health, my joy, my hope, my glory, my all. Then I shall be satisfied with the goodness, with all the goodness of thy house forever. Amen.